Soil.
Mm-hmm.
And I have with me Paul Missel. And you're all going to be showing in this show.
Yes,
we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and mm-hmm. you also, Paul, have your own kind of...
I have a small focus show in the back.
You have a small focus.
Backroom show, which we get to do and share in a small separate area.
Mm-hmm.
We petition for periodically, so we can get more opportunities to show.
Right. So, well, let's just talk a little bit about, first of all, just the agenda of the year, because there is more than one group show that's happening this year. From what I understand, this one is the founders, right? And then as time goes on, there will be group exhibitions that will be people that are there showing now. Is that right?
Quite often what we do, because of the size of the membership, which is about 30 now, there's only opportunity for about 12 shows. So
right.
The group shows that you see there are opportunities for two or three of us to show together.
Uh-huh.
So in a way, they are single shows, but they are also collaborative shows, you might say.
Uh-huh.
So in a way, it's a group show.
Right.
This is quite different. This, of course, is an anniversary show, so it's a different kind of celebration.
Right.
But that's how I see it. Periodically, we'll have a single show a member will elicit to take the gallery. But it's a lot of space and a lot of work, so it's more expedient sometimes to share.
Mm-hmm. Also, forgot to mention, it's blackfish.com, right?
Yeah.
That's the website. Mm-hmm. If you want more information about the show or you want to see images that we're going to be talking about. So I guess what we ought to do really is talk about, like, how did it start? I mean, what was the conversation for, you know, I mean, I had my own conversations with friends when I started a gallery a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
So how was it, you know, what happened?
Well, there was a professor at Portland State, Jim Hibbard,
mm-hmm.
And this was 1978, mm-hmm. 79, and he got together a group of artists who he thought had potential and could work together.
Mm-hmm.
And there were four couples and then three single people.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Black was one of the non-couple.
Right.
Yeah. Christy Wyckoff and Jim Hibbert. And then if you want to know who the four couples were, it was Bob Hansen and Judy Cook.
Right.
Dick Rizak and Julia Fish. Myself and my partner, Cheryl Funkhauser.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, yes. Esther Podemski and Vern Luce.
Well, right. And was this all in what we call the Pearl, like when you eventually started that first space, or...?
No, actually, we started on 6th Avenue,
uh-huh.
and we met for a year and had discussions. The original idea was Jim Hibbert, a professor, as you said, at uh-huh. Portland State, but also there was a graduate student. I was doing my MFA at the time, and there was another graduate student, Randall Sumner, who somehow moved away to do his MFA and never was in it,
right.
and then selections from there.
Right.
And we talked and planned for a year.
Whoa.
Yes.
So were there a lot of arguments disagreements?
A week. No, there
like, how did you find you? I guess, to me, that's still a lot of discussion.
Yeah, I thought these people are going to talk and never act.
Right. Was there that a little bit?
But well, yeah, but there were a lot of things to iron out, because mm-hmm. we were going to do it on a slightly different model.
Okay.
Instead of being all cooperative, we decided that one way to do it was to have one hired employee for part-time, that we would call a director, to provide a thread of continuity.
Very smart.
Yes, yeah. And about 9 months in, we incorporated and hired our first director, Pamela Webb, an architect. And she was the one who actually found a space for us, I think. Is mm-hmm. that correct?
That's right, yes.
On 6th Avenue between... was it between Flanders and Gleason?
Mm-hmm.
Or
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was really what you would call Old Town back in those
right.
days,
yeah.
right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And what else was happening there at that? So what year are we talking here? We're talking
79 when we first opened. And
right.
We're just looking at that poster, our first poster.
Right.
With had a photograph there done by Ann Hughes, and seeing the rawness of the space and the construction equipment, and knowing that we all, it really was a, you know, realize, Ava, that first year we were meeting in Jim Hibbert's house every week,
right,
and getting together, and so there was always things to talk about, but then there was always coffee to have and donuts, mm-hmm, and so it was social, yeah, too, in a way it fit philosophically.
Uh-huh.
But then when we opened that space, when Pam found that space for us, it needed a lot of renovation, so it was another opportunity to get together with hands-on. So it was, mm-hmm, everything from varnishing floors and painting walls and constructing walls. So it was a lot of coming together and peopling that space that was in the downstairs of an old hotel that, uh-huh, I believe is still there.
Right.
So since that time, we were there for a number of years, but it's evolved into another few galleries, and now I think it's another business there. But it was very interesting. It was always an event to have our monthly meetings at that space, because you never knew what was going to happen or what was going to fall from the ceiling.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting space to have. But
I remember that time, yeah, in Portland. I was here then, uh-huh, uh-huh, and I remember for me what was really exciting was Northwest Artists Workshop.
Oh yeah, uh-huh,
this was, uh-huh, the hotbed, and of course PCVA, mm-hmm, as well. But right, for me, being the Rugrat, it was more Northwest Artist Workshop. And you know, this was a year that also Ogden Gallery opened, but there wasn't a lot, you
Blue
know,
Sky.
Blue Sky was, but there wasn't a lot, I mean, of like, I guess, yeah, commercial ventures. Like, was that part of it? You guys looked out there and said, where can we show? And there were not any obvious, yeah, answers?
Absolutely. Yeah. There really were only a few galleries. I think there was one in the West Hills. There was a gallery there, and then Jack McCloud.
Fountain Gallery.
And then the Fountain Gallery, okay, certainly, with Arlene, had a wonderful gallery there, too. But there were only maybe three or four galleries in Portland at the time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it was...
Was there Ann Hughes and Friends?
I don't remember. Mm. I don't know that place.
No, but Sally Lawrence had a gallery.
Sally Lawrence, yes. Yes, yes.
Right.
It was a very fine gallery,
uh-huh,
too. So, but there were very few.
When we started in Northwest, the only commercial gallery at the time was Victoria, mm-hmm, Fraze.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that, mm-hmm, wasn't even there yet, was she?
Oh,
maybe
it was Northwest.
Northwest Artists Workshop.
It was Northwest Artists,
yeah,
Workshop,
right,
which was a nonprofit, and so not quite the same thing. Because I remember they did like a mail art show. I mean, they were doing things that were kind of from all over the country, not quite the same as what Blackfish was. Mm-hmm. How'd you get the, mm-hmm, name? What happened? How did that happen?
Yeah. Take it away, Barbara.
Yeah, I'm looking at your name. I'm going, wait a minute, she knows.
Yes. Well, about 9 months into the discussions, we did incorporate to start collecting dues so we could lease a space and hire a director. And we were putting names together like attorneys. You can sometimes get fun. And so we tried Miss O'More. But then Julia Fish's name and mine went together as Blackfish, and that caused the most laughter.
Yes, and also became... something else besides like attorney names or whatever. Like when I hear that name, I don't think, you know, it's true that it would have been more difficult, I think, if it was Miss O'More.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Eminem? No, I don't think so.
Right.
Copyright problems.
So what was the first show? What happened? Or if not even the first show, mm-hmm, how about the first year? Like, you know, was it great? Was it exciting? Was it upheaval? Was it not like you thought?
I remember the first show was a group show, mm-hmm, and of all our work. But there was also a great party that seemed to attract everybody in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I remember, you know, the director at the art museum, mm-hmm, and Rachel Griffin, the curator, they were there. A lot of the teachers at the art school, mm-hmm, were there. I remember I got kissed by Manuel Escardo.
Oh, wow.
I'd been his pupil and all that, but...
Oh, the things we remember.
Yeah, yeah.
So having been from the beginning, how, mm-hmm, has the... Well, I've got a few questions already, all at the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Who's been around longer than you? I mean, nationwide, how many cooperative? I know in the 70s, mm-hmm, they started.
Yeah.
How many kept on?
I think we're probably one of the few that's remained, if not the only one that's remained continuous operation.
Yeah.
So it's been that 35 years of never closing our doors ever, even in the hardest times. Mm-hmm. And we've had some pretty hard times. But I think the fact that we were a family, that we were together and continually, even though we've evolved membership, I think we've counted maybe 150 artists overall that have been through the gallery and have gone on, lived, died, married, moved, you know, all of that. But we've kept at this steady, this kind of number, each person coming in and adopting the philosophy and continuing with it. So anyway, it's been an ongoing thing. Now I'm starting to lose my point now.
Yeah, that's all right. Like, you know, I guess one thing I also want to know is, like, well, okay, you just said yourself, some come, they go, whatever.
Right.
What's the criteria for someone to be able to be a part of Blackfish? I mean, you can't just walk off the street and say, I want a show. What are we looking for? What are you looking for?
Well, there's a process of application where people send in images and a resume and their letter of intent, and we work by committees.
Mm-hmm.
And so the new members committee goes through that and shows the ones that are most likely to be viewed favorably. I mean, if there's amateurs who don't know what they're doing, they're kind of eliminated at that point. Otherwise, we look at them all at a meeting and vote. And we're voting on things like, do we find this work exciting?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, does it seem to fit in? We want diversity in the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
We want it the highest professional and quality and interest that we can find. And it doesn't have to have commercial value. We've had a show of pillowcases filled with dirt with potatoes growing out of them for 30 days. And that was cool, you know. We just want exciting work.
Uh-huh.
And then they come in for another interview if they get through that process. And then they can ask us questions, and we can kind of size each other up, because you have to have a somewhat communal attitude, too. As Paul says, it's like a family. And once you're in, we have no method for getting you out.
Well, you have a method?
No.
Oh, we have, okay.
No method.
So, but there's
dirty looks don't work.
So, but also, don't you have to be committed to, like, I don't know, meetings, money? You know, there's all of that too, right? You don't just say I want a show and get one, right? You've got to do a lot of work and other kinds of commitment.
Well, we do have dues, and that's kind of the main thing, and then you're expected to be on a committee or two, and you're expected to gallery sit once a month, which is a 6-hour shift.
But that's not so. But so does mean everyone has keys? I know it sounds.
It does.
Weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we all have keys.
Wow. Interesting.
There's a lot of trust in the whole operation.
There is.
Yes.
There is.
Yeah.
And has that trust changed or evolved over time? I mean, I say that because the 70s idea of trust, I mean, things must have really gone like an accordion sometimes, back and forth. No?
I don't know. It stayed fairly stable. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the process that we have of bringing people in.
Mm-hmm.
And we do embrace those people that embrace our philosophy. I think that's really important. And we've stayed with the gallery as long because we believe in this sort of a family. We have meetings where we have an annual retreat where we discuss how has the year gone, what did we do that was right, what could we do to improve what we're doing, what new thing can we do. So it's an all-day, full-day retreat that's mandatory for all the members. So, but it's also a great potluck too.
Yeah.
So that helps.
Sure.
We're pretty famous for our potlucks, but we do discuss a lot of agendas that get worked on through the year and through the committees that we have. So there's Barbara has in fact headed a number of those, and I think is heading up our next one coming up. So that's an important aspect of the gallery in terms of keeping it together.
Right.
So and that is being together.
Now you mentioned that there were some lean times when you. What was that? What did that mean? Did that mean no members? Did that mean real estate went up? Like what were those difficult times?
Well, I think some of it had to do a lot with sales. There were not the rent. We had taken on an additional space to the gallery that came available that we eyed, you know, jealously. Oh boy, another 50 feet long and another 20 feet wide.
We're talking about the place you have now.
No, this is the initial place.
Okay, the initial place.
And that, we took that on, and it just became with the economy, the sales weren't coming in, and the dues weren't able to maintain that additional space. So it was very difficult. So we ended up not in some cases, some of the artists weren't even getting paid their commission, which is a real no-no.
We don't like this at any gallery.
No, and none of, and because we're family, we all knew about it, so we all had to work on it and all had to fix this problem, which is what we did. In some ways, we bought each other's work to make it happen, but we made sure everything got done, and we carried through that.
We also moved.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meaning?
We moved from the original 6th mm-hmm. Avenue place to, actually, PCVA was right. having, it was, I blame it all on Reaganomics, but I shouldn't. there was a recession, PCVA was having troubles, so we
took some of their space?
We took some of their space, so we were up with Blue Sky and PCVA for 2 years before we found the current space.
Right.
This is our third space, and we've been in it since 1987.
Right.
But 1985 to 1987, mm-hmm. we were
over at the other place.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake. If you want more information about this radio show, you can go to kboo.fm/artfocus, and you can see links to my guests and past interviews. I've been here, I don't know, 5 years, something like that. Before I was here, Julie Bernard had this show for about 25 years. And then there was also somebody here beforehand. I don't know who it was, but I hear tale that there was. So this is probably the country's longest running radio show about art. And we are talking with three members of Blackfish Gallery, maybe the country's longest running cooperative art gallery. And if not, I think it is really the longest running. Yeah. If not, at first I thought the Air Gallery was AI, but there is actually someone owns that, and it's got a director and everything. So it's, I don't think that, you know, maybe it started as a cooperative, but it is no longer that. So it might be your guys' title. And I have the three members I have with me is Barbara Black, Stephen Soil, and Paul Missel, who are all going to be in this show that is opening this week. So it opens today, but actually the opening is first Thursday. And Becoming Blackfish. So these are founding members of Blackfish Gallery. But later in the year, there will also be shows that are current members. What else is happening this year?
Well, in April, there is a group show of the current members called Being Blackfish.
Right.
And that's the second, that's the other anniversary show.
Right.
The first one is the founding members plus early members.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
And then the next April is...
Key members, I think.
Uh-huh.
In this show, this time, as well as the founding members.
Yes.
It was difficult to select the people for this show because
the one
of space.
That's opening today.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And how many artists are there? Maybe 30 that are going to be.
37 or
37. I think there's 37.
And I'm looking through the list right now, and I have to say, so many of these artists I know, but I did not necessarily contribute them to Blackfish. For instance, I didn't know R.V. Smith had shown Blackfish.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? Deborah Gillis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, who was a cool woman. She's a friend of mine. There's going to be quite a few interesting artists here. Maybe what you ought to do is just talk to us a little bit about what we're going to... Well, we're going to talk about your own work, but before we talk about your work, what else? You mentioned there was a cool sculpture by someone that you're going to see when we walk in the room. What is it?
I was admiring Bill Moore's sculpture.
Okay, what was that?
It's a beautiful column. Let's see, how would you explain it?
It's very organic form that seems to grow right out of its own pedestal.
Yes.
With little secret compartments. It's a very fantasy-like piece.
Uh-huh.
It's wood of some sort, is it not?
Some kind of burl that Bill magically turns into this, evoking this very magical thing that appears to you when you just enter the gallery. You'll see it sort of...
About five or six feet tall?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Cool.
It's incredible.
Did you guys all install the show this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
The installation committee did.
The installation committee.
We have things all all different kinds of working committees to carry out the business that we meet mm-hmm. once a month and determine.
Wow.
Because mm-hmm. now we have 30 members. That means there are 30 owners discussing policy at each meeting.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Huh.
Well, yep. that's how the shows get up, is the installation committee does that. Uh-huh. And they listen to the artists, but actually the installation committee has final say on how things are arranged in the gallery. So even I remember myself having a show a couple of years ago when I had everything laid out and I thought it looked just great. And mm-hmm. I came back in and Whoa-oh. It was all different.
And how was
Bob,
that for you?
Bob DeZono, and Greg had, Greg Conine had very discreetly waited till I left, thanked me very much, and it was all different when I got back, and much better.
Oh, good.
So we believe in that. We do believe in majority, and if the committee, that's their responsibility, we listen to it.
And they have a wonderful eye.
Oh, yeah.
And the treat is that they install on Sunday morning mm-hmm. before our meeting. We meet every Sunday. We meet a Sunday in the month that's before First Thursday
okay.
to install the new show. And right. so that's done in the morning. And then when we meet at 12:30, we have the treat of the artists mm-hmm. Speaking to us about the work, and we get to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And that's a really yeah. wonderful thing that you don't – one of the perks of this kind of co-op gallery that
yes.
I don't think you would get that extra little talk, you know,
right.
even
right.
though we have – gallery talks during the month.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's just go around the room maybe and just talk to us a little bit about what – I'm going to start with you, Stephen, so I'm going to start mm-hmm. with you. I looked at all of your sculpture online, and it just blows my mind. It's mm-hmm. so beautiful.
Thank you.
I love what you do, really, mm-hmm. and I wasn't aware of what you did, so it was like kind of a nice little mind blower for me. So just describe what it's made with. How are you making this work?
Well, I've actually done a lot of different things over my 35 or more years. And I might just say that that's the great thing about Blackfish, too, that we can really do whatever we want and we can try different things. Mm-hmm. And we don't have anybody directing us or saying, no, I can't sell that, so don't mm-hmm. bring those in. mm-hmm.
But this is cast. It's cast polyester. What? Well,
yes.
It's a resin.
Yes. It's
okay.
a clear resin that you can mix colors in and mm-hmm. then add the catalyst and stir it up and it sets. And I did multicolor and I did one layer on top of another on top of another. Mm-hmm. And then that particular piece that's in the show this month has some little chunks of the resin, multicolored, that then got cut up mm-hmm. and placed and kind of held in place by brass angles and whatnot.
So just for the listener, these are what I would consider abstract works. They're hard-edged.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. There's brass, there's metal involved with them as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that they're kind of, so the brass or the metal is holding up these planes that are transparent but of color.
Right.
And really luminous and
yeah.
quite beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So now, Barbara, you are showing paintings, right? And what I'm seeing here, tell me if I'm wrong, it looks to me like you are visiting classicism or classic space or architecture in some way, but in a really painterly form.
That's an interesting way. Yes. Well,
there is a classic concern to what you're doing.
Oh, yes, because the image you're holding happens to refer to Greek imagery.
But you've also had pots there. There's an amphora in one of your paintings. It has a Greek.
Yes.
So I'm just saying you are visiting Greece in some way
right.
in these works.
The one in the show happens to be called Caravaggio's Angel because I did a lot, and I still do, ritual vessel and cloth series. And I combine realistic or recognizable images with more abstract feels.
That's uh-huh.
And because I'm thinking of dream worlds, imaginations, and memories as well as the observed world. So the one in the show is called Caravaggio's Angel, and it doesn't have a ritual vessel, but it has it's very dark and close value, and it has a bit of the cloth of the back of the angel in Caravaggio's Escape to Egypt. I'm sorry, I forgot the name of it.
Yeah, cool.
And then it also has the wing, and otherwise it's pretty abstract.
Yes. And then, Paul, you've got a whole show, though. You have a whole small show
small
that's in
show.
The back
uh-huh.
room. Paintings and sculptures, or?
Just paintings and drawings.
Paintings and drawings.
I've been really interested in evolving my drawing more, and so that's taken on a very strong part of my studio practice.
Mm-hmm.
And in this show, I also decided to revisit the still life in a slightly different way. My still lives often have a metaphorical content. They mean a cup will have a certain meaning, a knife will have a masculine feeling, a masculine meaning to it, a cup, a container, feminine. But this particular thing, I decided to revisit. I'm putting two paintings in the show that are still lifes that are sort of interesting in the way they play off of each other. It's a cup and a shell, and they are, one is very rich in chroma, very rich in color, and the other very neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I'm sort of, and they're out of scale, they're bigger than real life. Then so I'm revisiting that aspect of my studio work in the painting, but in the drawing, I'm continuing a search with working with a more almost metaphysical and spiritual attributions to a landscape, to be a figure in a landscape, a large bird with a nude will be paired together as guardian. So I'm very interested in the kind of coming together of species, of people having a similar kind of scale, and then starting a dialogue with that.
Nice. Well, we're going to wrap this up today. Thanks so much, you guys, for joining me.
Thank you.
Yes, so we've been talking about Becoming Blackfish. This is a show that opens this week. It's up right now, but there will be an opening on First Thursday. Please check it out. I had with me today Barbara Black, Stephen Soil, and Paul Missel, who are all founding members of Blackfish Gallery. And you can go to blackfish.com to get more information about the exhibition and about upcoming events, because they're going to be doing other things later this year. Wanted to also mention that I'm sharing the show with Stephen Gallivan, Joseph Gallivan, who will be hosting next week. And then I don't come back until January, I believe it's the 14th, and I have with me Bruce Gunther, and we're going to be talking about the Francis Bacon triptych that is at the museum, and I'm very excited about that show. I love having Bruce on, and I'm crazy about Francis Bacon, absolutely crazy about him. I've read The Gilded Gutter Life, and I also love that movie, Love is the Devil. So anyway, yes, it's going to be a Bacon festival, and that's 2 weeks from now. So Happy New Year. My name is Ava Lake. Thanks for listening to Art Focus, and I'll be talking with you next year.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor a New Year's Eve dance party with Palante and Jujuba. This salsa and Afrobeat dance party is a benefit for Mercy Corps on New Year's Eve, December 31st from 9 p.m. till 1 a.m. at the Red Rose Ballroom, 1829 Northeast Alberta. A salsa dance lesson will start at 8:30 p.m. Musical worlds converge at the roots when Nigerian band Jujuba and Afro-Cuban band Palante bring the Portland community together for this high-energy dance party to support the international relief work of Mercy Corps. Jujuba delivers funky, danceable rhythms, and Palante performs fiery hot salsa and Latin jazz. On December 31st, the Red Rose Ballroom, 9 p.m. till 1 a.m. For details, please go to kboo.fm and click on New Year's Eve Dance Party on the lower right side of the homepage.
It is noon here at KBOO Portland. You are listening to Buscando America.
This is Katie Papa, don't you be a- apple.